From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. There's a new album from Beach House, that dreamy duo of Victoria Legrand and Alex Scaly. The album is called Depression Cherry. It comes out on Sub Pop August 28th. And today, we have a new song from that album. It's called Sparks. You can listen to it on a SoundCloud link. And when you do, you may be delighted by the song like I was. You also might be puzzled by the beginning. It's a vocal loop that sounds like this. Victoria and Alex were in New York City. We talked about the song, and I asked them about that loop and asked them to help me out here.
So I've been listening to this for a while now, and I'm certain it either says, so petrified, or perhaps it says the slow, patient life over and over again, or maybe it says so beige and white. help me!
Well, that's amazing because I never even thought about that. It's like a Beatles. Is there a secret message?
Yeah. Well, is he or isn't he dead?
Yeah. Never. It's so funny how didn't even think that people. If you forget that people will be listening to
your
the
music,
song, and that yes. And that they will be interpreting and hearing and seeing things that you have no idea what it is. It's pretty.
That's right.
And it's a great part of all this.
The mystery, where's this loop? Whose voice?
Do we just... Yeah, there's no reason to not
it's
tell,
my.
It's
my
them.
Voice.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of assumed that. You were pulling the tricks on me.
We were playing a show in Bristol, England, and we got this thing for our sound engineer who's been with us for like 7 years, our live sound engineer. Mm-hmm. And it's this thing that... It's like a looper, and we run it through the Victoria's lead vocal. So you press a button when you want to start recording, and then you press a button when you want the loop to start. Mm-hmm. So it's like a kind of a common thing now because a lot of people use those in shows. But we were just doing sound check, and he was testing it out and make sure everything was working. And we don't even know what Victoria was singing. We don't know what her words were. But that was the loop that got made, and he just started playing it really loud through the PA.
And we yelled, don't stop, and we recorded it.
Yeah, we said, please don't stop it. So we held up our iPhones, and that's an iPhone recording of that loop from Bristol.
That's great.
So it's proof of that, you know, accidents can be beautiful things, I think.
Absolutely. So just so you know, if you don't remember what you're saying, you're singing The Slow Patient Life.
Thank you.
Thought you should know that. We're talking about the song Sparks, is there some element in the song that led you to all the other elements in the song? Was it that loop that's got you going on the song? Was it some word or some guitar line?
It's a good question because they all lead you to some other part. And then when you combine things, they give you new energies. But that song had an interesting metamorphosis. I feel like the music existed for a long time before the voice identity became what it is now, which is Sparks, the loose whatever narrative or whatever you choose to hear in it. But maybe Alex, you're better at the genesis. But it started as a keyboard. It grew from a keyboard.
Yeah, that keyboard part, we almost always, while working on an album, find a keyboard at a local thrift store or whatever. And when we were recording Bloom, we found a keyboard at an El Paso thrift store, and that keyboard you hear in the song is that keyboard.
Well, there's a bunch, but the main one,
the one that sounds reedy.
Let me find it. Let's see.
It drops in. So the
that's
guitar
it, right there.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, it's a wild myriad chord sound.
Let's listen a minute.
It has many colors.
I always like the idea of, because building music and writing music can be this puzzle where you start with something, or sculpting, where you start with something, in this case a sound, and it, like you say, it has to lead you somewhere else. It just takes you somewhere else. What fits with that reedy sound? So you had this reedy sound. What, do you remember what came next? Is it even possible to reconstruct that
probably
kind of
guitar
stuff?
So we had that chord progression of the reedy sound. That was the initial thing mixed with that beat. They came from the same keyboard. That was the thing that, the nugget. We always start with like something that we really love.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that beat mixed with that keyboard sound was super exciting to us. It just had this energy that we loved. And then we realized just messing around with that vocal loop that it's a really cool thing to play different chords over. Mm-hmm. Like, so as you change chords, the looping creates different harmonies with the chords.
Right, so the looping's in the background of the song here for people who haven't heard the song yet, right? So if I pull it up, that, is that?
Yeah, it kind of never leaves. It just changes volume.
Yeah, it sets up a tension between all the different chords too, right? I mean, that's sort of what you're sort of saying with the harmonies, right?
Yes, exactly.
I like what you said about sculpture, though, because it is like the form. The music becomes a form. It's intangible to a certain extent, invisible.
And sometimes
this is a good example of this, the song, I think. Uh-huh.
And sometimes you feel you there's only one, when you start with something, sometimes you think as a creator that there's only one way you can go. Like, it just, do you know what I mean? Like, something just takes you someplace else.
That's like such a dominant mindset for Victoria and I. We always feel like when working on music together that there's always a clear direction. There's never like, oh, well, what do we do to this song? it's always, the song is always telling us.
The question of what do we do? It's like, what does the song want?
Yeah. Right.
What is that initial spontaneous burst need to stay alive and
like for this song, the beginning feels really jarring and chaotic.
The beginning meaning the loopy part or the first guitar?
The first two to three minutes. Uh-huh. And then this section that we're hearing right now feels like the necessary harmonious kind of like collapse of that tension.
Uh-huh. And 1 second, I'm going to play a little. And I'm going to quickly just go right to like a random, like a minute in. Well, right here. Where you do feel a definitely like this is not resolved at all.
And
yeah, I hear what you mean.
The chords are constantly leaping and never staying at a resting place. They're always begging this other place that makes you feel uncomfortable.
I always also felt, because it's interesting, like the two of us do this together, but we also have our different visions
totally.
Of things.
Yeah.
So if you ask me or Alex, you'll get either, we'll feel the same or we'll feel slightly different. And I think that when you first came up with that guitar part, I hadn't heard anything like that before from you. And it filled me with an excitement. And I definitely feel that in this unresolved, there is a sort of a celebration in the lack of resolve. It feels to me, as a music lover, as a person who enjoys how music makes me feel, that feels true to me in a certain way. Like that, I know not to be cheesy, but that in living, we don't know what's going to happen. And there's almost a celebration, like a rain dance or like a fire dance or something. It feels very, the chaos is true. I feel like having heard the song so many times, that guitar always makes me feel that.
The chaos is what excited us so much. Mm-hmm. I remember like when we like
absolutely
first stumbled upon that thing.
And what inspired words?
A lot of the words come from the, you know, I try to listen very closely without analyzing too much, but listen to the music and what is the music making me think? What is it making me see? Visions happen. Sometimes the words happen at the same time, you know, like a melody and the words will be born at the same moment. But there were certain melodies before there were all of the melodies, which is interesting because there was music, there was vocal music, but the development of the words and the lyrics, I took time with that. You know, I definitely didn't want to rush into anything, and the identity of it was a bit evasive for a while, but when it all consolidated and the idea of, you know, we drive around this town, houses melting down, I remember that particular day very vividly. It was probably, how long would you say, between the first moment of Sparks to that moment?
Would
you
say a year?
A year.
Yeah.
When it happened very quickly. And I kind of work like that too. I don't like to force things. I like to sometimes wait for the lightning bolt. Mm-hmm. And it happened quite quickly when it finally hit.
The spark.
Yeah. If that answers your question, it's difficult to, I have to re-remember the birth of
the sequence of things.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting to me, like what, I keep wanting to use this word spark, but what sparks what, and how you get to where you get to, and if you, and in some ways, if you can even remember, because sometimes putting music together for people who don't make music, it is something very dreamy about it, and like waking up from a dream, and you know you had it, but it's hard to explain exactly what happened and what sequence it happened.
Musicians, I guess, or maybe just I'll speak for myself, but I feel like sometimes I'm trying to do the unattainable or catch the unattainable, kind of, you know, by you grab things from the air or something from the air hits you from the ether, and then you just, like this, you were talking about the spark, but I mean, that's what creativity feels like. You know, it feels like you're trying to catch something that will go away, but you want to try to preserve it for other people to hear. Does that,
yeah.
You know, it's sort of, no, I'm being vague, but.
No, I mean, well, it's hard to talk about this. Those specific parts. Do you feel the end of the song felt to me, and you both described this a little bit, which is that there's a resolve, and in the end of the song is almost like a, in some ways, a chant, though it's not chanted. It's make it, wave it, alive. Super positive feeling to what is otherwise in the lyrically a little bit vague and a little. I can't make out quite what it is, but I know when I felt that part of the song, I felt good.
That's good, because Make It, Wave It, Alive, it definitely, like, when I heard those, I thought there was no doubt in my mind that to me was the energy.
Well, you said when you heard that's curious to me. Do you mean you wrote it down and you heard yourself singing it? What do you mean by that?
That's good. That's a good question.
It's like I heard the schizophrenic voices telling you to sing it.
I also see things at the same time, so it's weird. It's like I hear it and I'm singing it, and I'm seeing it all at the same time. I don't know how to describe it, but it's almost like if a seizure was ever a good thing, it's like a peaceful, that's that moment.
Wow.
And that happens. Maybe it's out of body, I don't know, but that happens. And I actually feel like most of my lyrics, I really, really am just listening for that particular voice, whatever that is. But I do think Sparks is a, lyrically, it's interesting. I feel that some of the words actually are quite direct in a certain way. I definitely think it's addressing certain energies in our world as humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely certain energies that we are surrounded by that affect us, that can get you down or anything like that. You know, that level of directness is there, as well as the grander, more abstract realm. But Making It, Waving It Alive, it's that moment where music and words become the feeling. And I think that's sort of like the ideal for us in music for ourselves, is that when we feel it, we know that it's right, and that moment is kind of almost like a metaphor for like what we aspire to do.
Victoria LeGrand and Alex Scaley from Beach House. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.